You are listening to Retro TV, a podcast about the wonderful world of nearly forgotten television.
Hello, and welcome to Retro TV.
And VHS Rewind.
What's that?
And VHS Rewind.
Okay, you want me to do it over again?
No.
Well, yeah, no, it sounds silly.
No, that's how I...
And VHS Rewind. Woo-hoo. Hello. We're doing a combination today. I'm Leah Mitchell, and I have Mark on and Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hi. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
I'm doing great.
Good. What are we talking about today? What ridiculous movie are we about to jump into from...
We are doing Bugsy Malone, and this was a request by Vanessa.
This was my favorite
movie as a kid. I was so excited to watch it again. As Leah probably knows, I am so into vintage, and this is probably where it all stemmed from. The way the look of it is... I love. And to me, I still loved it. I loved every second of it. The musical, the music, the costumes, everything. Very exciting. I had fun.
Yeah, I think that this is an absolutely excellent parody of like the old noir films of the 20s and 30s and 40s. And I think that they did a beautiful job at kind of recreating... also films of the period of time that were so popular, because of course Godfather had just come out a few years before this, Godfather 2.
Yeah.
And that was
the parallel scenes. Right. I saw the barber and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not sure about this date, but Miller's... Oh, no, I forget it. For whatever reason, I'm like, Miller's Crossing, but Miller's Crossing didn't come out until 1990, which was another Prohibition-era film that was really, really great if you've never seen it. Yeah, it's definitely worth seeing.
I heard it was good. It's on my list.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. And actually, parts of this, I feel as though... All right, so Bugsy Malone was a part of my childhood, too. It was always on, like, HBO... And it was just one of those movies that I loved as a kid. But I have not seen this movie in decades. Leah, you've never seen this movie.
I had never even heard of this movie. I obviously heard Bugsy Malone because I thought that was a real gangster.
Yeah.
And so I Googled it. And it just kept popping up, this movie. I was like, okay. So I obviously, in the back of my head in the early days, Bugsy Malone must have been part of my life, but I have never seen this movie, never heard of this movie. So it was all new to me as of last night and early this morning, because I fell asleep. So I had to finish it this morning.
Yeah. My kid fell asleep as well.
I'm curious to see like how sometimes when, if you watch a movie, when you're in a first time as an adult, it's not the same as the feelings that you had when you watched it as a kid. Like I still, I have that reminiscent, that love for it, but I don't know how I'd feel if I watched it for the first time as an adult.
Yeah. This movie probably falls into the category for me anyway, of, for whatever reason. Now this is a total guilty pleasure film called The Pirate Movie with like Chris Atkins, I think, and terrible movie. This is one of the worst movies ever made. I loved this movie as a kid. And I still love it. Like I'll watch it and it's like, holy cow, this is a great movie, but it's a terrible movie. And I fully accept that. This movie is I call Bugsy Malone a questionable movie because you have to appreciate some aspects of it. I think that it's a difficult movie to get through unless you start, like, you have to be in the mood for this movie. I have to be in the mood for this movie to get through it and crack up. Because I can totally see myself being in the right frame of mind and loving this movie today. But watching it just in a couple days ago and last night, I found that I was watching it for different reasons. I was watching it for an appreciation of the filmmaker trying to play an homage to, like, the Godfather movies and the noir and... And I kind of got a little creeped out also with some aspects of the movie that I maybe we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
But there's definitely, when I use the word questionable, I find that I'm pointing towards the use of children in an adult setting.
Yes.
Which is fine. For
yeah.
It's
yeah, we'll
fine.
Get into that. So me watching this for the first time, I would have loved this movie as a kid. I'm mm-hmm. kind of sad this wasn't in my life as a kid, because me and my sister, we would have watched the hell out of this movie because we were obsessed with Annie, and it looks like it's the same.
Yeah,
era.
It's like an Annie movie. That's what it feels is. Like. Yeah.
And so seriously, we watched that movie every day. We dressed up. We had the records, the stuffed animals. We loved Annie. And so this gave me the feel of Annie. And yeah, like I said, we would have loved this movie as a kid, but neither one of us have heard of this movie.
Huh, that's interesting.
I know, which is weird. We didn't have HBO as a kid. What we had was whatever was playing like on WGN, because they had movies on Saturdays and Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so we would record those movies and then watch them over again. And I don't think this was ever a movie that was on, you know, just regular TV.
Yeah, if this made it to TV, it probably didn't make it until the 90s.
Right.
Oh, no, I think I saw it. I think I saw it on like on Sunday afternoons. They would have a film on TV or something, because mm-hmm. I didn't have HBO or anything. So I'm not sure how I saw it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I remember this as being like, if you're staying at home from school, like, all right, like this is on, Kidco's on, and like, you know, Brewster's Millions is on or something.
Oh my God, for reals. Yeah.
those three movies I've seen more than too many times. Not this so much. I do remember watching this with my friends in groups. I remember quoting parts of this, the whipped cream gun.
Oh, goodness.
A lot of really interesting aspects to this movie. But I don't know. I hate to say, I don't know if it holds up today. I don't think a lot of movies hold up. So I'm a pretty, that's you know, true. I bump heads a lot with Chris Hassler about this, because, you know, I really judge a movie at the moment. I have a tough time. For somebody who talks so much about retro stuff, I think that I give retro things such a tough time. Like, I'm really tough on things.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times it's more of your personal nostalgia.
Yeah, and I try to separate myself from that personally.
Yeah, and which I did today. I think this movie would hold up because I kind of was watching it as an art direction point of view. Like, I loved how he directed this movie, and the angles were really awesome.
Oh, they're beautiful. And like, yeah, I know. I mean, like, I couldn't agree
like,
more.
For real. And this was his directorial debut.
Who directed this? Oh, Adam Parker. Okay.
Or Alan Parker. And so he's known for what's up?
The sets, the production value, the costumes, it was amazing.
That I was totally into all of that. Like, I could not get enough of that. The clothing and just the era. Yeah, I loved that part of the movie.
All right, so I'm looking up on IMDb just for the fun of it. And right. I'm finding Bugsy Malone from 2003. I don't know. Maybe
I didn't know there was one.
I don't think there is. I don't. Okay. Maybe it was just a reference to Bugsy Malone. Maybe they covered it in some type of one of these kind of.
Well, I know at one time they were going to actually make a TV series out of this, and it never happened. So maybe that might have been it.
So what else has Alan Parker done? I'm looking him up real quick.
I have that. So.
We might have missed Leah.
Evita. He did Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Oh, wow. He's like, he has a real history of stuff.
He does. Fame. So he did a lot of Pink Floyd videos,
Angel
Madonna
Heart.
Videos, Evita.
The Commitments.
Yeah, so this was Fame. Big. So this was his first. He wrote and directed this movie.
Wow, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to just pause the recording just for a second. Okay, after a ton of technical difficulties, we're finally back. Hopefully, everything is working okay. Leah, you can hear me, right?
And Vanessa, I can hear you. Can I hear need me. To click back right. onto the watch party, though.
Yes.
And we can all
okay,
hear
there
each
we go.
Other.
Okay,
all right.
Cool. Great. Okay, I'm in.
All right. So moving forward. So, yeah. So Alan, I want to call him Alan Rifkin, but it's Alan Parker. Alan, he's done a whole ton of amazing movies, as you were pointing out, including like Mississippi Burning and Angel Heart, The Commitments, which is another one of these guilty pleasure movies that I don't know if you've ever seen The Commitments, but it's a really good movie. And Fame, and Midnight Express. Holy cow, this guy has so many movies. He has
a huge credit, and I love it. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Midnight Express?
No, I haven't.
Vanessa, have you seen
that? I've never seen that.
Oh, my God. You guys have to see that movie. I forget what country he's smuggling drugs in, but it might even be a true story. And he gets busted. And basically what happens when you smuggle drugs in a place where you're not supposed to smuggle drugs, which is in most places. right? I mean,
are there exceptions to that?
I don't know. California might be the exception. You don't get in so much trouble in California. So let's see. California used to be like the three strikes law. People were like afraid to get arrested. Now it's like, whatever. I think they still have the three strikes law. They just don't count that high, maybe. As people are like, why are you making fun of California? You live in New York. It's worse. And that's true.
Well, that's where Vanessa's at.
I know. That's why I'm pointing at California.
I don't know anything about the three strikes law.
Wait, do they still have the three strikes law?
I don't know. I guess. I haven't gotten any strikes yet.
All
right. Yeah.
No, I personally do. I love California. And how can I dislike a place that has the In-N-Out Burger? And the high school from Greece. So let's see. Let's get into this movie a little bit. We have the voiceover of Chachi talking about basically setting us up a little bit. If I can find the right screen. This sounds ridiculous. So yeah, just tolerate.
Isn't that bad, Sam? Fat Sam is the one who is the voice in the beginning.
Is it Fat Sam? Wait.
Someone once said it was raining brains.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is Fat Sam. For some reason, I thought immediately it would be Chachi.
I thought it was too, but you're right.
His name should have been Chachi Malone, personally. That would have been,
great.
Chachi Malone. I come from the mozzarella business. Yeah, Fat Sam is my favorite character in this entire movie.
Mine too. I have it written
down.
Holy
cow. He is a glimmer of humor. And he did nothing. His last role, I think, was in 82. You
know? I thought it said he was in construction or something. And then I think he went to jail.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
But he talks, like I saw an interview with him, and he talks exactly the same. And then really? I saw that the director just went to a school in New York and was like, who's the naughtiest kid here? And everyone pointed to him and he got the part and he's like, I wasn't acting. I was like, that's really him. And
he delivered those lines.
He was amazing. Yeah. He was so fun to watch, especially not being an actor. It's like, are you kidding me? This guy was made.
I had no idea. Yeah. I mean, I think that he should have been in he should have been in Goodfellas and stuff like that. That would come out when he was an adult.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Roxy Robinson wouldn't even get wet.
This scene reminds me so much of in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where he goes to the gypsy or the fortune teller to find out about his bike.
And he's in between the buildings and he sees a shadow.
And then he tries to get these people try to mug him and it's like, and what are you doing around this town? He goes, bah. Now, I think this is the same set over and over again throughout the movie, but it's a beautiful set. I was wondering
where this was. The whole thing was filmed in the UK.
Oh, but it's a set, right? I mean, there's no way.
It is a set. Yeah. It was like one of the biggest sets they ever built was for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, you could still find places downtown with these cobblestones and stuff like that, but they're not in such good condition.
Roxy had spent his whole life making 2 and 2 into 5. But he could smell trouble like other people could smell gas. But believe yous me, he should have never taken that blind alley by the side of Perito's bakery.
Oiga usted, ¿qué se imagina? Si no ve que la gente quiere dormir. Ruido, 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 como si estuviéramos en la estación de ferrocarriles. Vaya a su casa, deje de dormir.
This reminds me of that commercial for pasta where the mother's like, Anthony, do you remember this commercial, anyone?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. All right.
Maybe it was me. He goes, Anthony. The heels. They point their guns.
Your name, Robinson?
Roxy Robinson.
You work with Fat Sam?
This kid looks like the kid who played Woody Allen in Annie Hall, but I don't think it is. Could be. And they shoot him up. Immediately we're like, why? The kid's shooting kids, and it's whipped cream, right? Or shaving cream, maybe. I think it's whipped cream.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's whipped cream.
I don't know what it's actually made out of, but yeah.
When I was a kid, we always thought it was whipped cream.
Whatever game it was everybody was playing, sure as eggs is eggs, Roxy the Weasel had been scrambled.
So right there, are you guys familiar with the movie Goodfellas?
I haven't seen it, but yes, I know of Goodfellas.
You've never seen it. All right. So, and Vanessa, you've seen it, right?
Yes. Oh, thank God. This is definitely my genre.
All right. Well, actually, the movie takes place where I live. Like living in the suburbs and everything and... yeah, basically it takes place. And even the book kind of references my specific area. So that's why, probably one of the reasons why I saw it originally. But that aside, when the movie first starts, it starts very violently. And I don't know if you remember it, but Ray Liotta slams his car door and it freeze frames on him and goes, I always wanted to be a gangster or something along those lines. And it's exactly... the way this looks. Like, there's a lot of these freeze frames, and I hate to admit it, but I think Scorsese might have been inspired by Bugsy Malone in a lot of ways.
Because this is the masterpiece.
It is. It's beautifully done, like right here.
Whatever game it was everybody was playing,
I love the eggs, freeze eggs, frame when they hit.
And in Goodfellas, they do this over and over and over again.
Oh, okay.
So I think Scorsese is inspired by Bugsy Malone.
I was thinking that if this was not children, if this was adults, it would still be a good movie.
Yeah.
It would just, like, it doesn't seem like it doesn't stand out that they're kids. You know what I mean? It's just,
What? I want to find the Goodfellas intro and I just want to show it to you guys. All right, this is just going to take a second.
As far back as...
Well, it's sort of. This is a little bit bloody. They basically just stabbed this guy to death, which is kind of gory.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Actually, it's actually not a freeze frame. But that aside, it does completely remind me of this.
It definitely has the feel of this movie.
Sorry about all that blood, Leah. I know that you're not exactly...
Oh, no, it's okay. No, I just got done watching Stranger Things, so I'm... Yeah.
I can't...
Yeah, that's just like scary as it gets for you.
Pretty much, yeah.
I can't get through the Stranger Things. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. It's almost too retro for my tastes.
Not me.
No, I'm going to give it a chance, but I can't get past a lot of it. Vanessa, are you watching Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah, I watched them all.
Okay. I liked them all up until this most recent season. Something about it.
Oh, this is my favorite season. And it's funny because I felt a character would remind me of you back in the day.
Vanessa or me?
You.
Me? Oh, are you talking about the derelict dirtbag kid who played Metallica?
What?
he was my favorite guy.
No. Well, he's the derelict, though. Come on.
No, he's not. He is a hero. And yeah, when I saw him, I wonder if that was Mark back in the day.
let me just kind of clear the air on hairstyles. I never had bangs, so I was always one length there. Never a bang guy. I never got my hair layered or feathered. I just let it grow. But yeah, no, he was the cool guy. I definitely, I would have been friends with that kid in school.
Oh, me too. He would have been my best friend.
Oh, sure. Really?
Oh my God. Yes. I'd love that guy.
So Goodfellas. Goodfellas.
Or no, not Goodfellas.
I know.
Bugsy.
We have reviewed Goodfellas on VHS Rewind. And, another thing, you know what, Vanessa, you make a good point before. You saw this on regular TV, you said, because you didn't have HBO. I mean, it's possible you rented it, right? Yeah. But
it's possible we rented it, and then my dad used to do the, copy of VHS. Another VHS with
smoking. Yeah, that's dad.
So, that's very possible. That was really high tech then. And then I don't remember if I saw this because this was made in 76. I don't know if I saw this before or after I saw him on Happy Days. I mean, this was made before Happy Days, but I don't know if I saw it before or after. I was obsessed with Scott Baio. I told you I have his 45 still. That was my first 45.
Nice.
With that terrible song from Joni Los Chachi.
I like that song. All right. I'm not going to lie. Can I tell a personal story?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I was a Cub Scout. Now I'm a Boy Scout leader still, right, Leah? Like, how many years have I been there?
You're high into it, yeah.
But, you know, my kid is now 80% towards Eagle. So, I mean, yeah. I can't bail out now. Like, he has,
that's awesome.
He has two merit badges left to get his Eagle. And it's like, all right, we cannot bail. He wants to bail. We all want to bail. We want out. No, we're not going to. We're not going to. So, when I joined the Cub Scouts, third grade, second grade, I don't know. And I was, you know, really into it and everything. And I had the little uniform and stuff like that. And the meetings were on Tuesday night. Unfortunately, Joni Loves Chachi was also on Tuesday night. So I had to give up scouting for Joni Loves Chachi. Thankfully, Joni Loves Chachi was canceled. And then I went back to Cub Scouts. So I took a hiatus because I did not want to skip my new favorite show, which was Joni Loves Chachi.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
What?
I support you in that. And I would have done the same thing. I remember it was a big deal for me.
I remember I got a lecture from my mother saying, I just bought you all of these, this uniform, this stupid book, you're like bailing out already. And I remember, I don't remember saying this, but she told me in my adulthood, said that the person who ran the group made me feel funny. So she was like, okay. And then I think I admitted that it was just for TV. So then she let me go back.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
John Vincey Sr. Yeah, was the scout leader. So sorry, John. I think he's still around. He must be like 600 years old though. So that's my story with the Joni Loves Chachi song. And as a kid, I really liked that song. But you have a 45 of it. That's pretty.
Yes.
Sounds rare.
I just got a little record player, so now I could play it.
Sweet.
Let me see if I have this. Yeah, I have actually Doc Baker talking about your record.
That'd be rare.
That'd be rare.
That'd be rare.
All right. I just happen to have that quote. All right. I forget what he was talking about. Some sickness was super rare. I just happen to have that. So back to Bugsy Malone. Now we're, don't worry, people. Even though we're 23 minutes into the episode of this VHS Rewind, we are already well into this movie at 1 minute and 43 seconds.
Only 4 more hours to go.
Hey, you know, that's the beauty of technology. You can just ramble.
That's true.
All right. I say we get into this a little bit.
All right.
Vanessa, do you want to take us to where we should go next? And can you guys see my notes and stuff? Because I'm not going to play all these clips, of course.
Right.
We'd be here all day.
Well, I would like to say that so the music is all done by Paul Williams. Do you know who Paul Williams is?
The Paul Williams, the guy with the bowl cut?
Yes, the Cousin Oliver. He.
Wow. Did you know that, Leah?
Not really. So he wrote all the music. And he is he's a genius. He wrote so many amazing songs, Leah. He wrote Rainbow Connection. He was nominated for an Oscar and for Golden Globe for this movie, I believe. And most recently, he accepted the award for the Grammy Award for Daft Punk because he worked on the Daft Punk album.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I mean, he's still around, and he's made so many good songs. He's written so many songs for people. I love the Thunder songs that he's written. And then, as you know, we might get into that the singing voices of these kids were hilarious because they didn't match the kids at all. And there was adult voices singing for the kids in this, but his is the voice that sings the piano player. So he sings the Bugsy Malone song, I believe, and the Fat Sam song.
I had no idea that the Jinx. The Jinx, and Leah, you may remember this. The Jinx is like my favorite Brady Jinx character.
Yeah, and he is my least favorite. And I know that rubs me the wrong way so much that you love him.
I love that kid.
I'm right now. Oh my gosh.
And then I have a Paul Williams story. I actually ran into him twice in the same week. So I took a picture with him in an art gallery because I just knew, I'm like, that's the guy from Hollywood Squares. I didn't know that he was amazing as he was, right? And he was on everything. He was an actor too. He was on Love Boat and Fantasy Island, and he's been on everything. But I mostly remember from Hollywood Squares.
Which is weird, I think, you know, I mean, I remember him vaguely from Hollywood Squares, but yeah, I mean, I don't remember. Yeah, that's weird. I think obviously you watch Hollywood Squares. So, I mean, it's not weird for you. It's just for me, I remember him in a lot of movies and in television.
He was a humongous personality in the 70s. Maybe early 80s, but so one time I was at the movies and I thought a little kid was kicking the back of my seat and I turned around and it was Paul Williams, and it was so funny
because I literally,
yeah, exactly. I guess I felt weird because I literally had just run into him like 2 days before at this art gallery. So I didn't say anything. I'm like, he's going to think I'm stalking him. But that's my Paul Williams story.
Wow. I just, if you look at your live stream thing, I'm just throwing him in.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually on the same page. Yeah, I'm on the same page as you right now.
The Muppets. And
Dude, this is bananas.
This is what happens when you're a
kid. The kid that I can't stand, the Brady Bunch, wrote the song that makes me cry every time I hear it, is the Rainbow Connection.
Well, you know, I think he also
wrote... You know that's not really him, right? I was just saying it looked like him, but...
Wait, what?
So, yeah, it wasn't him. I was just saying it looks like Cousin Oliver. Right, it's not
actually him. I was like totally tripping out right now. Okay.
Yeah, me too. I really didn't... What is... All right, now we have to know what Cousin Oliver's name is, for God's sakes. Vanessa's like doing fake news here.
You
have to understand something. Leah and I will believe almost everything you say.
Oh, we will. Yep.
Okay, he grew up to write the he's John Denver, right? Isn't that his name?
John Denver is not Cousin Oliver. What? John Denver, holy moly. Now that's a whopper. All right, so we need to find... All right, I'm just going to do the search with you guys. What episode, wasn't he the Jinx? He was in the last episode.
It was the last, right? Class, like three episodes.
All right.
Of the series. He was definitely in the last one.
Robbie Rist. Why am I?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Robbie Rist.
Okay. Now I need to get my brain back in like boggle mode.
I think I'm friends. Can we even make this sadder? And I think I'm friends with Robbie Rist on Facebook.
You've told me this.
Yeah, so I mean, forget that. All right, I don't even know who I'm friends with. I need to start unfriending people. I don't care if they're even And starting with both of you, I'm just kidding. Oh. Your fake news. All right. So the good news is
he was also on Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. He was mini. He was little. Oh crap! What was his name? Little. So he was the younger. He was the shorter of the two. The gentleman.
He was also on Baby Driver.
I forgot he was in that. Baby Driver. But yeah, all right. So he did all the music, which I think is an incredible fun fact. Now, when you say all the music, do you mean the orchestrated music as well? Everything?
It's not all the music, he wrote it. Yeah. Huh. And then a couple songs he sang.
Is it fair to say that maybe he's like Prince? Because he's short?
I wonder who's shorter. It says he's 5'2".
And he's 81, by the way. The Jinx is 81. How? I'm just kidding.
No, don't mess me up. I'm still confused.
Yeah, I know. No, the Jinx is only 10 years older than us. Well, you. I'm older. I'll always be older than you, Leah. How does that feel?
Just by a year. Yep.
Doesn't matter. I'll always be older.
You will. Older and
you'll always be the younger. You'll always be the youngin'.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so let's get into some of the story. Vanessa, where should we go to next?
Olive
oil thing, by the way. I do want to mention that. When he goes olive to the oil. Business in the front, it's an olive oil business, which is a throwback to The Godfather. But it won't set man, Bugsy Malone. Bugsy Malone. I'll say the music has a certain, what is that guy's name? The Disney, You Have a Friend in Me. You know what I'm talking about?
Randy Newman.
I'm sorry. My ears are bleeding.
Yeah, that was harsh.
I'm sorry.
No,
I don't know how to turn it off.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Was that you? I thought that was on Mark's end.
Don't worry about it. The eardrums will grow back. No, that was.
So, if anyone knows how to turn that off, let me know. Don't email me in the next 2 hours.
Now, my friends, I should be filling you in a little. This guy you're looking at is the hero of our story. Name of Bugsy Malone. A nice guy. A little too popular with the broads for my liking. But a nice guy, an Italian mother, an Irish father, he'd naturally grown up a little confused.
And no, yeah, it's an olive oil business, which I just love this. It has to be a throwback to The Godfather. Have you guys watched The Godfather part 1, 2, and 3? Leah, please come on.
I know. No, please don't hurt me. No, I have not.
All right. So
I know I have a lot of movie holes.
And so do I. Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't see E.T. until up like 6 years ago, but I ended up seeing E.T. Just last summer or last winter, we all watched The Godfather trilogy. And I have to say, I think you would thoroughly enjoy it. Thoroughly, I say.
All right. Okay.
I give it a solid 7.5 out of 10. And I am a very harsh judge. Don't ask me what I give Bugsy Malone.
Kind of mixed up. Oh, by the way, I nearly forgot. My name's Sam. Fat Sam on account of my physique. I ain't no dumb bum. And between you and me, this ain't no bookstore.
On account of my physique. I don't know who wrote his parts, but it's genius. What should we play? You want to hear a song?
My absolute favorite song is Tomorrow Never Comes. But I don't know if that skips over too much of the story, but
Basically the idea is there's a mafioso type of several families, I guess. I guess we can apply this kind of like The Godfather. There are several families. There is I'm not really sure what they are fighting for because we see bootlegging going on, right?
Yeah, I never really was clear about why there was a rivalry
alcohol
between Fat Sam and Dandy Dan.
Say it again.
It's a sarsaparilla racket.
Right. Sarsaparilla. Okay. It's mentioned once, I think, sarsaparilla.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Sarsaparilla. Do you know that if you'd look at the word sarsaparilla, I bet you you'd spell it wrong. It's not spelled at all the way we're saying it.
No, and I remember Googling it for an episode of Little
like
House.
Well, Dr. Quinn, we, you know, Matthew's always like, I'll have a sarsaparilla. Well, he said it once, and then I repeated it 100,000 times. So,
brains and all that.
So this is one of the scenes with Fat Sam.
Do you?
According to his, you know, because of his physique.
Clean up, boss.
So who is it, you dummies? Tell me. Who?
Boss.
Don't damn it to that name in the song.
Hey, take it easy, boss. Sit down. Come in.
Excuse me, I'm Blassie Brown. I'm a singer. I'm here about the audition.
A singer, a singer. Listen, sister, right now I don't need a singer. Come back tomorrow, honey.
Hey, boss, how about my audition? You said last week I'd be okay.
Am I going mad? Am I ears playing tricks on me? Will you get out of here?
This kid is great. Will you get out of here? This kid is so funny. So where is that song? I think I reference it.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. It's way in there.
Yeah.
We're not going to miss too much.
It's a couple in there.
I got it.
I love all this, the dancing and the singing. Their outfits are amazing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The look of this entire film is really beautifully done. The sets, the lighting. I'm going to imagine that this was still a relatively low-budget film. I guess I can look that up. I'm also going to guess this movie did not do very well in the theaters. Do we know?
Dang it. That
I don't,
was something I was going to look up and I didn't. No, I know it was nominated for one Academy Award.
Yeah. And then I couldn't tell. I think Jodie Foster, did Jodie Foster win or she was nominated, but a Taxi Driver, she had just filmed Taxi Driver right before this movie.
I don't know. I don't know when she filmed Taxi Driver, but Taxi Driver came out before this movie.
They said that. I think it was right before this film.
Now, have you seen Taxi Driver with Vanessa? I know, Leah, you've not.
Of course I haven't. I know, but it's on my list also.
I know. I have a long list, too. It's sickening, my list.
That's a whole of mine.
Really?
You
have to see. Both of you should really see this for two major reasons. And that's Jodie Foster as like a 14-year-old prostitute, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And probably a 27, 28-year-old Robert De Niro with a mohawk. So you really – and I think it's really relevant to today because it is a very politically charged film. And it's a beautiful, beautiful recollection of the way New York City looked in the mid-70s. And kind of the way New York City looked to me anyway in the early 80s.
All right.
And it's really an incredible, incredible movie. Again, a Scorsese movie.
Mm-hmm.
He had not seen Bugsy Malone to be inspired yet. but he would, of course, it would take him 14 years until the inspiration from Bugsy Malone would make it to the theater. In Goodfellas.
We know he's a big fan.
He must be.
What's her name? Jodie Foster said that she was such a professional and most of the kids I don't know if any of the kids had acted before, that the director was just like, do your thing. He didn't have anything to tell her because she was so professional. You know, she knew what to do.
She makes me a little uncomfortable because a lot of the women, they make me a little uncomfortable. Women, girls, because they really do make them up so much.
Yeah, they sexualize them, especially her. Yeah.
But as children, we're watching, you know, if we could just watch it as children, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah. See, that did not cross my that might cross my mind if I saw it for the first time now, but that did not cross my mind then.
Now,
it was. Yeah.
It must have crossed somebody's mind because she was a prostitute in, you know, she was cast as a prostitute in Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that this is a grooming movie or anything like that. I'm not going there.
No.
It's just to today's standards where everybody's so hypersensitive with these things, mm-hmm. this movie would have an issue just in that alone. And it's a shame because I think that although some of the jokes can be a little bit blue, I think that it's safe, you know, it's innocent enough. I remember watching this as a kid and not at all finding anyone sexy, you know. So I think it's okay. It's just, you know, looking at it through today's lenses, I guess we can't help that a little bit. But I still think that the film is innocent completely.
Absolutely.
It kind of reminded me of The Little Rascals. I loved The Little Rascals. You know how they would put on, you know, elaborate shows, and my favorite episode, Little Rascals, they same thing. They have like a nightclub and
Darla. But Darla was never made up. Like, it's weird. I know what you're saying. They didn't have makeup. But even the male characters are also made up. There's a tone to this movie where I'll compare it to the Jackson Five. I don't know if you guys ever listened much to Michael Jackson's work in the Jackson Five, but if you listen to Michael Jackson, the songs he's singing about are about love. He's 9 years old, and they're really, really intense songs, many of them. And not ABC, of course, but I mean, it's a really an interesting, Michael Jackson was a very interesting character because he was singing like a little man. And that's kind of what I kind of see when I look at this, is they're all like, they're children, but I really forget that they're children after a while. And it took me a while to get a real big laugh in this, but I did end up getting bigger laughs than I got in movies that cost probably 10 times. I can't find the price, by the way, as to how much the budget was for this. I'm sure it's out there, but IMDb doesn't have it.
I know that I did see articles that, I didn't read them, but, about people thinking that this is, like you're saying, just kind of sexualizing kids. I feel like it's this day and age, I guess.
Yeah.
Because also the Alan Parker, his son is the one who suggested that it be made with kids. I guess he was going to make this style of movie, and his kid was like, can you make it with all kids? And he was like, oh yeah, I don't know if that hasn't been done before.
It's a novel idea.
It is. I do love the idea. It's cool.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what a headache it must have been with 200 kids running around being professional actors, and I can't, like, how many hours could they work in a day? You know, I don't know if the laws were different then, but
it was the mid 70s. You give the kids a carton of smokes and a six pack of beer, they'll be fine. We're talking about children, Mark. Yeah, so I agree with you. And it was also, like we said, on a set. I bet you this was a very quick production. A lot of the people involved we know were complete professionals, like Scott Baio, Judy Foster.
It was his first movie, though, right?
This was Scott Baio's first movie.
Get out of it. I did not know that. Wow.
Yes.
Who's better, Scott Baio or Ralph Macchio? Who's...
Come on. Scott Baio.
Scott Baio. I'll have to say that as well.
Now, I'm not going to compare the way they look, because I think they both actually aged well. I think these guys look, you know, they're like probably like in their late 50s or something. I think that they both look good. Yeah, they both look exactly as old as they are. So they look as old as I feel. So, all right. So this is the song. I'm going to play some of the song. Now, I do remember this movie being kind of presented as a musical. But. You know, another thing, Vanessa, you seem to know a lot about where the concept of this movie came from. So I wonder, does this sound like something that maybe you've come across, is they had like a real lame gangster script, and they thought, you know, the only thing that would save the script, like, you know, maybe the son said, is if you do it by kids. And it's like, huh, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I can almost see that happening.
I don't know where, this was one of his earlier movies. So other than his kid saying that, I don't know where else, you know, he got that inspiration from, or how he met up with Paul Williams. Obviously that was a good choice on his part, but because there's not other gangster movies that are musicals that I can think of. Right. But I love the time period.
That's a good point. Are there any musicals that were gangster movies?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't think so.
Scarface. But the music makes it.
Was Scarface? No. but I think Scarface was still later. I think it was 1980.
Fun fact, I don't know if you saw this when you were Googling it, but there is a musical now that is out in the UK, a Bugsy Malone. It's a stage production.
Really?
That would be
yeah, that's what I pulled up when I was trying to look for the real Bugsy Malone.
Oh, no, there's also a rapper named Bugsy Malone with a Z.
Yep, that pulled up too. But no, I found that really interesting. Whoops, yeah, there's a stage production of this, which makes sense.
Let's watch the stage production commercial. It's only 1 minute.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Me too. That gave me goosebumps. The kids look like they're older.
Yeah.
So it's not as creepy.
Well, that yeah.
Yeah.
But still creepy enough.
No, I didn't think so. Oh no, I would totally go see that.
But here's Vanessa's favorite song. I think it's her ringtone. It's that much of her favorite song. I'm just kidding. I just have to ask, the stream looks like it's working for you guys, right? It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I figured out the problem. Tomorrow. So is this Paul Williams singing?
No, not this one.
Because we know this is not a kid's voice either. I don't
know. No, they're all adult
no, it's voices. Not.
I'm sorry, what?
The only person who actually sings their own voice is the girl that plays Blousy Brown, Florence Garland. Everyone else is adult singers.
Hmm.
Yeah. What kind of a fool do they take me for? Tomorrow, a resting place for bums. A trap set in the slums, but I know the score. I won't take no for an answer. I was born to be a dancer now, yeah. Tomorrow, as they say, another working day and another chore. Tomorrow, an awful price to pay. I gave up yesterday, but they still want more. They are bound to compare me to Fred Astaire when I'm done. Anyone who feels the rhythm moving through them knows it's gonna do them good to let the music burst out. When you feel it sure, let the people know it. Let your laughter loose until your scream becomes a love shout. Tomorrow, tomorrow's far away. Tomorrow, as they say, is reserved for dreams. Tomorrow's looking gray. A playground always locked. Trains, no winning teams. Won't take no for an answer. I was born to be a dancer now.
He doesn't tap dance, though. I mean, I think he's the tap dancer, but we don't get to see him.
Yeah, I was thinking that. It's like it would have been made better if it showed him actually tap dance.
Yeah, like you have Gregory Hines come out with, what was the guy that Gregory Hines did tap with? He was from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was also on Silver Spoons. Anyone?
Oh, Ricky. No, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh,
He was the tap dance kid, you know, if you remember the very annoying commercial. Maybe not, because it was like a New York commercial. It's like, now on Broadway. It's like, I'm not going to go see this.
Oh, no, but you have shown me that clip before on a different...
Oh, really? It's something I'll reference from time to time.
Yes, we referenced it before.
It's the tap dance kid. Now, she looks like an adult to me. They all look like an adult. He doesn't.
No, he's... Well, yeah. He looks like a kid until he's about 40. And we're referencing Scott Baio right now.
Honestly, if you were to look at Scott Baio now, right? Let's, you know, we have to, right? Scott... Mm-hmm. Bayo now. Oh, that's a terrible picture of him. All right.
You're going to say he still looks young?
I mean, how old is Scott Bayo? He's, do we know how old he is? 60. I mean, he's not, he's about 60. He's not 62 years old. This little kid is 62. Amazing. But that would mean that in this movie he's like 15-16. I don't know about you, but my kid's 14, much older looking than this kid.
Yeah
he does. Right? He looks very young.
He should have been
Jodie Foster. Said that all the girls had a crush on him.
Really? Well, that's the thing, everybody thought he was a little kid, and he's like, no, I'm actually 15.
What's so funny?
I don't know. Just that there was a time when people had to be in railway engineers.
Even his voice, he sounds like he's going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
You think he would use that to his advantage? He's like, oh, I'm just a cute little 12-year-old.
Wasn't that the joke, though, on Happy Days that he, or I guess, was he supposed to be younger than Joni, but that he always seems so young?
Yeah, wah, wah, wah. Yeah. I have to go back to Happy Days because it's I remember so much with Chachi, but it's a good thing we have two eardrums. It's almost like it's like a shock collar or something on a dog. Like, I don't know what I was just saying, but
I promise I'll fix that before next time.
It's fine. I forgot what I was saying, but we'll just move on. But I was saying that she's so much older looking, and all the kids for the most part act and look so much older. I thought that it was, I don't know. What do you think is next? I do like it when he kind of scams his way out of paying, which I think is real schemey, but it's good for a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That waitress in that whatever cafe there. Yeah. She reminded me of Team Yothers from Family Ties.
I'm going to play it. He has to pay for all of this food. And just listen to the amount of food that they order.
Oh, I know. That hit me too. I was like, really?
It's like, did you say like 8 banana somethings?
Hello?
Hello, operator. Could you test this line, please? I believe we have a fault.
Number, please.
It's Columbus 19785.
I can almost see Chachi doing this in his early days, right? Like, because he was kind of like a troubled youth.
I'll be right back.
Thank you.
This would be an Albert Ingalls thing to do also.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, they do remind each other.
Yeah.
How much I owe you?
8 banana boozle specials with double ice cream, 3 beef spitfires, 2 cream Arizona donuts, and a salami special.
She's absolutely Teeny Others.
I know. You're right. I didn't see that before.
Wow. Yeah. Absolutely.
$4.80.
So she goes to get the phone because the operator is calling back to test the line. And he takes a broom handle, sticks it in the door, locks her in there. Dead. They find her dead later. It's all funny. She suffocates. Let's see. I was pointing out that the music, we have the meeting of the families. They drop one of the guns, right? Like one of these guns that they have that shoots whipped cream gets into the hands of the public. And they learn that this new weapon, which is kind of a throwback to the Tommy gun, is the big deal. And it's like new technology.
The Hoodlum Gang Warfare. Police now officially state that the new weapon of devious foreign manufacture known as the Splurge Gun is now being widely used by the mobster gangs. We interrupt our interruption to go straight over to our...
We interrupt our interruption. The Splurge Gun. I always like to look to see if there's anything else. No, it's like just generic headlines. I kind of like this scene. They have all these different people from all over the world. And this would basically be if you walk down like Spring Street or something like that in Manhattan or like Canal Street. You basically hear like 10 different languages. You can't really, it's like such chatter. I love, what do you guys think of the cars?
The pedal cars.
The pedal cars look so much fun. Like they should make these things and make people pedal their way around golf courses or something.
I would love to drive one of these things.
Right? I mean, have little races. I'm tempted to like build one. How hard can it be?
I mean, they look like real cars, just little. They're so cute.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so they were hand built, and they cost about the same amount of money as an original one would for every one that they built.
So at the time, like if they were to get a Model A, it would cost about the same.
Yes.
I would imagine that wouldn't be that much back then.
Maybe not, yeah. They went 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And you could probably mess with it and put gears on it and stuff like that and really, so you're not pedaling like, you know, and passing out. I would love to kind of pedal around with these. Did you find any information about who built it and what, and like what was in them? Like what were the parts and all that stuff? Like was there, there should be a documentary. I didn't.
It was production crew that built them and they only held one person. You couldn't hold more than one person in it. So like if you really watch the scenes, they'll cut to like the driver, but then they'll cut to someone coming out of the back seat. But it was only, the weight only held one person in this vehicle.
I think there's a scene later where we have a bunch of people, but I think they're not moving. So maybe they just piled in just for the shot.
Right.
Or maybe they ruined it. Maybe that's how they learned that it can only hold one person.
They're like, oh, whoops. Okay. Crap. Now we know.
Yeah. But I love these pedal cars. I think that they're just fun to look at. The music, I think, this reminds me so much of The Godfather. Guys have barbecues at home and like whatever you guys hire like a small thing like this
quartet,
right? A string quartet. It's nice. It's
classy. Always.
It's classy. Yeah. And the horses are even small. It's so bad. This was like what is that TV show where they do like the really bad auditions? America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
That's what this kind of felt like with the auditions. These two, the kid looks like, the boy looks like a kid a little bit, but if you look at this quick, it looks like a man and a woman to me. It really doesn't look like two children. But yeah, they're taking the auditions, and we get the one star to kind of come in with this very irritating Madeline Kahn type of humorous voice.
Great.
I'll give you one more chance, you hear me?
Lena, honey, you come back to me.
I'll give you one more chance, you hear me, Oscar? Otherwise, I'm out for good. Out.
And she was going, Blousey was about to sing her heart out, and she just didn't have the opportunity because this little ginger kind of comes in, and she's like, I'm going to take over everything.
I'm not getting humiliated in this place. You know, I am the star, and I should be treated like it absolutely all the time. Okay, hit it, Joe.
And they have this big argument up there. It's cute. I don't know. I mean, I think that this is one of these films you just kind of have to experience. There's a lot more dialogue than would be in a children's movie today. Like, there's a lot of chatter. Like, you know, there's a lot of filler scenes. We get back to the party with the string quartet.
Can we talk about Dan?
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Now, what is his name? He's Dan, but what do they call him? Dapper Dan?
Him Dandy Dan.
Dandy Dan, yes.
Yes.
Dandy Dan.
He was so perfect.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm pretty sure he will grow up and be in Goodfellas. I need to confirm this. Maybe not.
I hate
Breaking
news, but he's not with us anymore.
Yeah, I just looked at this. Well, I have to look up who I thought he was in Goodfellas, because there's like somebody who he could have been in Goodfellas. He died in 1992. Jeez, that's a shame. I was wondering. I was wondering if everyone was still alive, and I guess no, nope, nope, nope. And this was his last film. That's a shame.
He could have done more things. He was so good in this.
Do we know how he died?
He committed suicide.
Was it because of was it because of his acting? I don't mean his acting being bad or anything like that. I mean more along the lines of, you know, being depressed, maybe not getting roles that he wants.
I don't know. I just saw that information. So sad.
That's a shame.
And so this part is interesting too. So, but I guess so. Before the splurge gun, they just had to carry around pies.
Yeah,
which I love.
Pretty genius. But yeah, here it is. I thought he was really good.
No, boss, not that. Anything but that.
This kid is amazing. No, not that. Not that, boss.
I didn't mean to drop the gun. Just kind of slipped out of my hand.
Button your lip, doodle. You're all washed up.
But boss, give a guy a break.
Get him.
And now, my friends, listen to what I'm telling you. And listen good.
And Scorsese's like, that was a very effective scene. I'm telling you, Scorsese is inspired by so many shots in this.
Yes.
And I love this. They pedal up. Oh, look at it. We have four people in this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I might have had misinformation on that.
But I will say, though, those wheels look tweaked to me. So maybe like for a short amount of time.
There's only room for one Mr. Big in this town. And that's me, Danny Dan. And fellas, the time has come for us to play our next card. And believe you's me, Fat Sam and his dumb bums ain't going to stand in our way.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the movie.
Now, this is a song that it sounds very period correct for the 70s.
It does. I was going to say it has that like that Brady Bunch bubbly sound to it.
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
Okay, cool.
But don't it make your heart glad that we decided our fact we take pride in. You anymore. Bad guys. of us contemptible. We're criticized and quizzed. We made the big time, malicious and mad. We're the very best at being bad.
Hey, look at me, I'm dancing.
We could have been anything that we wanted to be. We took the easy way out. With little training, we mastered complaining. Manners seemed unnecessary. We're so rude, it's almost scary. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. With all the talent we had. With little practice, we made every blacklist. We're the very best at being bad. We're the very best at being bad.
Why are you shoving me?
We're the very best at being bad.
You guys will do a show at Mama Lou Genie's. Mama Lou Genie's. Hey, they're all up in the air in the freeze frame. Did you guys grow up with Italian restaurants in your neighborhood?
No. I wish I did, but no.
I wish.
We're the suburbs of Denver.
What kind of kind of Italians are you? No, I'm just kidding. we had a Mama Kelly's, believe it or not. I don't know if I've ever told Kelly that.
Mama Kelly's.
So that just kind of reminds me of that. Mama Lou Genie's. And this will be the restaurant that will get hit later.
Oh, is it? Well, mm-hmm. They probably only had so many restaurants on their set, right?
Yeah.
But I guess they said that the one kid couldn't dance, so that's why they gave him the the carpet. They changed it, so he's just holding the carpet.
That's really funny, actually.
Yeah, I love that. That was my favorite song in the movie, and the choreography was really cute.
I mean, the only thing that would make that song better is if the Silver Platters did it. Now, I really like it when with these like outbursts that kind of become pretty prevalent in it.
In time, and don't do that, Knuckles.
Sure thing, boss.
All right,
we get this over and over again. Don't do that. No, like the knuckle cracking really bothers him so much. It's just really funny.
See, if I was a kid watching this movie, Knuckles would have been my crush.
Oh, really?
Yes, because he's tall and like nerdy, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's cutie pie.
Well, here they're talking about how they have to get back on top.
At the beginning. Well, be not smart about it, Lounge Lizard, right?
Right.
We're gonna get back on top, right?
Right back on top, boss.
We're gonna kick that drugstore cowboy right into line.
Now, another movie that this really, really reminds me of is The Untouchables, which is from the 80s with Sean Connery. I bet you guys have not seen it.
I know, we're the worst.
No, maybe you're not the worst. But I do recommend the movie. Vanessa, have you seen it?
It was years ago. I don't really remember. With Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin Costner. And is Robert De Niro in that as well? He might be in that as well. And it's just a great, great movie. Andy Garcia's in it. Really good. But it has the same clean look to it. And that's kind of what this is. This doesn't feel at all like a low-budget movie. And I bet it easily could have been. I'm going to guess this movie didn't cost very much. I just wish we knew how much. But I think it just looks so good.
You bet, boss.
Sure, we've been a little slow off the mark, but dumb bums we ain't.
No, dumb bums we ain't.
Hand me a pie. Louie, over there into the corner.
Me, boss.
Oh.
Me, boss.
Louie.
Poor Louie.
Why me, boss?
Should have chose Knuckles.
Louie, into the corner.
Because this broad over here likes him.
What I do, boss?
Nothing, Louie. You see? Missed. Okay, Louie, you can sit down now. Even a dumb mug like Louie's too quick for us. That's the root of our troubles.
This is like, Robe is hilarious. It's amazing.
We're behind the times.
I don't get it, boss.
We ain't never gonna get back on top with this kind of hardware, Knuckles.
I want to meet this guy. I guarantee you he does like those comic book conventions where you can get his autograph and stuff.
Probably so. I heard that he was a little ass on set too. Like he was the bully of the set. Oh, so his personality was the same as in real life.
What? I got into character. What?
Yeah, right.
You have a problem with me?
Well, he was the little shit of this of the class, right? Was that what you said, Vanessa? That
On YouTube, you could see it's like a 3 or 4 part. I think it's like, where are they now? And they're all in it, and it talks to the actors and the so the grown actors redo that little dance that you like.
No, I have to see and this.
There was like a reunion and they got together. So like Jodie Foster is there and everything. Wow. So, cool.
I'm going to look for it, but if you could send me the link, cause I can never find stuff, but we'll include the link in the show notes. That's
awesome.
That'd
be great.
It's old fashioned. In short, we got to get ourselves that gun. Hello. You want some information? Start gathering. Yeah. Okay, thanks. We've had ourselves a little break. Who knows the Hong Fushin Laundry Company? Well, my friend on the telephone here says that's where they stash the guns, right?
So they're going down to the Chinese laundry, and it was a trick. They tricked them, and they took them all out.
I don't believe it. The whole gang? Everybody? Oh.
Do you guys crack your knuckles?
No, and I get after my one son who does it all the time.
I do it all the time.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Never. Yeah. I hate that sound.
That leaves you shooing me, Knuckles. We're on our own. What we gonna do, boys?
That's Levi.
That's what I'm doing next time to Levi.
Quit.
Throw a book at him.
Do nothing. Act like everything is normal. Come to the gods of son of Bone. What does that mean, boys? You can't speak Italian. No, boys, I'm Jewish. Then read the translations. Oh, well, this is good.
I thought that was very funny.
Oh, that's another place where Martin Scorsese's like, yeah, make the second guy a Jewish, right?
Yeah. Well,
Robert Duvall?
Duvall
in The Godfather.
I think he was Irish. Wait. Are you saying Godfather is not Scorsese?
In The Godfather.
That's
Coppola. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's Coppola.
Yeah.
No, but it's But
so then I guess they're copying The Godfather. Sorry.
But in Goodfellas, though, Henry Hill dated a Jewish girl, and they lied to her parents saying that he's half Jewish, even though he's Italian and Irish. But I do have another scene that was directly stolen and used in Goodfellas that I'll play in a little bit. There's a lot of stuff stolen from Bugsy Malone and used by Scorsese.
Yes.
What should we play next? I mean, it's a pretty simple story. I'll play the little bit of interaction between Bugsy and Tallulah.
Long time no see, Bugsy.
Well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You used to come and see me every night.
I've been busy.
She's the same character in Taxi Driver, by the way, which is kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, busy doing what?
Oh, this and that.
Hey, Fizzy, will you cut the ivory and hit the shoe leather?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you're aces, Bugsy.
This is where I thought it was a little bit advanced for children. But, you know, I'm just being sensitive to it.
I've always found you kind of special.
Careful. You're racing my motor.
Oh, come on, Bugsy. Give a girl a break.
Are you sure you got the right fella?
You're not like all those other saps.
No?
No. You've got lovely brown eyes.
There'll be lovely black eyes if Fast Sam catches us.
How about smearing my lipstick?
Careful, Tallulah.
come any closer, I have to call my lawyer. So call him.
You can't kiss on the forehead. That's crazy. So, unfortunately, Blousey sees the kiss and freaks out. She gets all Blousey at them.
So Scott Baio said that they really did kiss behind the scenes they were making the movie. Yeah.
Who was older? They were probably about the same age, right?
She was 12. I'm not sure old he was.
No, I think she was 14. She had to. Shouldn't have to be, but I mean, I'm pretty sure. The next thing I'll look up her age. But what should I play next? What do you suggest?
Well, can I add? I love that he says make everything look like normal, and he has cardboard cutouts of the guys,
so funny,
like in front of his window.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
Those look like Jello shots or something that are not set. What?
I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were drinking. I was wondering that too because they're different colors. Maybe it's different kinds of sarsaparilla.
I don't know. I thought there was only one type.
I did like the detail on that though.
Yeah.
The shadow of the.
The show's going swell, boys.
Good. That's just the way I wanted it to be. Tutto go solo lo stesso. Ricordate? Same number of drinks, same everything. Can't let them know they got us on a run.
It is very funny. So, let's see. We have Bugsy goes and tries to give flowers to Blousey.
Hi, Bang. Is Blousey there, please?
She won't see you.
I'll tell her I'm sick.
You're sick?
Yeah, sick of waiting.
Beat it, Wisey.
Give a guy a break, will you, Blousey? I bought you some flowers.
I'll see that Tallulah gets them.
Quit being so small, will you?
Will you? There's a lot. There's so much, like, attitude. Where did Scott Baio grow up? He's not from New York, is he?
New York.
Really?
He is from Brooklyn. Yeah.
It sounds like the most fake New York accent, but, you know, he's just, like, really buttering it up versus the other kid, Fat Sam? I forgot what his name is.
You. Yeah. 5 minutes, girls.
I have to go.
I was thinking of getting a job.
You don't get paid for standing in bread lines, Buster.
A legit job, I tell you. We could save some money, enough for the ticket to the coast in Hollywood.
Sure, I'll believe it when I see it.
Hey, Bugs, you drive?
This is actually really funny where he takes the flowers.
Sure, why?
Yeah, this is a great scene.
I'd like some green stuff.
As long as you're not talking about cabbages.
Step inside. I've got a little proposition to make to you. Flowers for me. How nice. Grazie, amigo. Lovely. Put these in some water.
Yeah, this is where it's like, I can't believe that kid was never an actor before. Like, just little scenes like that.
It's so, like, natural.
Yes.
Now, I'm skipping over a lot of dance sequences and music, but if there's anything you guys think is worthy of playing.
That's where Tallulah sings her song. Is that one of those parts that you didn't, that you thought was uncomfortable?
No, I thought it was all right. I mean, stage type stuff I can accept, you know, but just, you know, I thought it was good. I mean, all of the coordinates. All of the dance sequences and everything are just really, really top notch. Really.
Oh yeah. If I was a kid and saw this, I would have loved it.
Like I remember loving all of the
scenes and the and how they were dressed during the scenes.
Yeah, she said she was uncomfortable being made up and wearing like all this makeup and girly and whatever because she was a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, she was used to being an actress, but yeah, that she didn't love all this.
Now, what's so interesting about this is this whole era, I'm going to say this is like a 30s type of thing, was only about 40, 45 years ago when this came out. So, I mean, if we were to think about that, that's kind of like our 80s, you know?
Yeah.
So, this is like Stranger Things that we're watching. the equivalent of without a Metallica song.
You know what they say, no one said the heavens gonna treat you finer. Tallulah had a training in North Carolina.
Sounds like chipmunks. I mean,
it's yeah, when they
so
did
high.
The singing, it really took me out of the movie because the adult voices coming out of the kids' mouths mm-hmm. just was a distraction for me.
Yeah.
I wish they would have had so kids singers. Deeper. What's that?
Her voice is so much deeper than the singing voice.
Yes. Like it was not matched up well at all.
No.
Let's see. There's this to me looks a lot like Miller's Crossing. If you ever see Miller's Crossing. We're like kind of out in the woods. In the UK, you said this was shot, right? So I don't know where in the UK we're finding forests like this.
What can I do for you, Sam?
How about a small dose of straight talk, Dan?
So it's me.
You've been taking liberties.
I've been taking what's mine.
The trouble is, it belongs to me.
Too bad.
I'm sure we can talk this over sensibly.
Does he have braces? I just have the feeling he has braces. I don't know why.
I'm a businessman.
You're a dime a dozen gangster, Sam.
Now button your lip, mister. You don't talk dirty to me. I don't.
Or a lot of plaque or something.
I don't know. Yeah, his teeth are shiny. Really shiny.
You can see his gum there.
I don't like your mouth. I have to have some respect, you know.
You'd slit your own throat for 2 bits plus tax.
Keep your wisecracks behind your teeth.
Keep talking.
This guy looks so much like an actor. Like a current actor. And it's a real shame that he would pass away so young. That's a real shame.
Yeah. My position to think of.
Right now, it's not worth a plug and nickel.
You're a dirty rat, Dan.
You've been watching too many movies, Sam.
Okay, Looney, let him have it!
Charlie, young, because it's a double cross!
Okay, use guys, freeze.
That was a pretty tough line to deliver. Okay, use guys. So they come out with their guns. It's a big battle. They fight. We go back to the dancing girls. I didn't know the point of this girl complaining about her dress. Kind of went over my head a little
bit. There was a couple parts that it kind of went off that was unnecessary. Like the whole boxing thing was a side story that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, with Leroy.
Yeah. And I didn't love Blousey growing. When I was growing up, she was like my least favorite character in this.
Nope.
She doesn't like him, and then she's just using him.
Yeah, she's a total user. Mm-hmm. She's just like looking for a free ride to Hollywood. What now? Maybe you can explain this little forward flash or flashback with the film. She thinks, is this supposed to be her? Because she's behind the scenes.
I think she's just dreaming about going to Hollywood
and standing on the sidelines and watching a production. It's so weird. You would think she would be in the production, like in her dream. Maybe she's so lame that, you know, she can't even imagine herself that she would just want to go on a tour and see a production in Hollywood. So let's see. He calls, he meets with her, gives her a gift because he did this job and made, I think, $200. She, of course, doesn't believe him, but because he has money, that changes her opinion of him. And she's a user. She just really is. He gives her gifts. And we get another song. We get a lot of music. But he says, what we're going to do is we're going to take the money. We're going to go to Hollywood. And we're going to make you a star. And what happens whenever you make plans like this and you're walking around $200 in cash?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you hurt?
So he gets jumped and robbed. Doesn't seem too fazed by it, but he meets this big kid who helped him in the fight. And he says, I'm going to make you a boxing star. Forget about that $200 that I just lost. And he just seems unfazed by it. I mean, it's a kid's movie. So, I mean, we're allowed to just kind of move on. We get to hear about the sarsaparilla racket a little bit.
You idiot!
Now, what is this that they were carrying? I was wondering, like, is this like supposed to be like
plaster? I don't know, because he's supposed to take a plaster cast of the tire track.
Yeah. All right.
But of course, it's like they pour it. I don't know why the scene after that, like, they pour it and it gets on him, but then in the next scene, it's like his whole entire body's covered.
Now, maybe the people who made the movie should not have used plaster that looks like the whipped cream, because then I started questioning, does the whipped cream get hard? Is it actually plaster? Because that would change my whole perspective of the guns, that it shoots plaster.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that would make sense, too, because every time someone got hit, they would do a freeze frame on them.
Yeah, right.
So.
Now, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah, and they pour the whole thing on them. That looks just like the whipped cream. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. You idiots.
You idiot!
Hello. What?
It's not good, boss. They got to the steel. The whole lot's gone.
Not the sarsaparilla racket as well.
Not the sarsaparilla racket as well. And yeah, he's in the cast, which makes no sense. Then Leroy goes and boxes, which really just kind of, maybe they just wanted to, I don't know. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. They could have done something with it. Maybe it was like supposed to be because Rocky was so popular. They could have like a little boxing sequence. Rocky, I think, came out in 75. What should I play next? I like the droopy flower thing, because this is
the scene
where they stole directly. Even if you didn't see Goodfellas, you know the scene I'm talking about with Joe Pesci, where he's like, am I a comedian? Am I a clown? And he's like freaking out at, you know. And I think that this reminded me so much of that scene.
Quit whistling, Fizzy. Makes me edgy.
Yes, boss.
Pour me a double on the rocks.
Sure, boss.
What's so funny, Buster? You find me amusing?
No, boss. I'm sorry. I wasn't smelling at you. Honest, I wasn't.
Find my suit funny or something?
No, boss. It was your flower.
Oh, yeah, it is kind of droopy, ain't it?
Yeah, a little, boss.
In fact, it's very droopy.
Very droopy, boss.
Hold it a minute, will you? You need some water. Don't ever let me see you laughing at me again, you hear? I'll just ram this mouth right down your throat. I'm Fat Sam. Don't ever forget that. Number one man, top dog, Mr. Big. Always have been, always will be. Now get out of here.
I want to pay him $10 to say that. But he delivered that line like perfectly. I
know. It's just so amazing.
Yeah. This kid, I bet you he was like one. He didn't need more than one take. Like every single thing he did was like done. Blassie calls the club, says, when are we leaving for California? He's like, well, a little bit of a problem. He's like, I knew it. I knew that you would
let me down. Yeah, he has a job to do. Just one more job to do.
Let's see. A lot of Blousey stuff. Your favorite,
Vanessa. Which I'm surprised they didn't use Jodie Foster more in this movie.
I kind of remember her more. Let's see. This was interesting music, anyway, in where they need to get kind of a gang together because they need to break into this warehouse because that's where they're keeping the guns. And they're not guarding the warehouse with guns. They're guarding the warehouse with baseball bats, which I thought was kind of funny.
I thought that was interesting that they were all dressed in baseball gear.
Yeah. Odd, right?
Yeah. We need a few more men. We need an army. There ain't no armies around here, Bugsy. Yeah, I know.
Hang on a minute, Leroy.
Just a weird synthesizer type of weird Paul Williams thing. And I did look at Paul Williams and yeah, he wrote every song. That's crazy. That is so crazy. So they recruit from the warehouse. I mean, the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Because these guys are all down. They're like, we got a really long song. What do you think of this song, Vanessa?
This was not my favorite.
Yeah. I like the beginning, but it goes elsewhere.
And then, so this part when they say, get baby face.
Yeah.
So baby face, he's somebody now. He directed Rocket Man and the series right now, The Offer, that's about The Godfather.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's like the only other person kind of after Jodie Foster and Scott Baio that really, you know, is still active in the business, it seems like.
Yeah, I would say those three, well, I'm counting the director is like being pretty, Alan Parker, you know, did end up doing so much. But yeah, really, for a cast that is really kind of big, you're surprised that more talent didn't come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like more future talent. So I thought it was kind of, Babyface is kind of a cute little thing that they're doing here.
It's Babyface.
Here's Babyface. Give us the Babyface.
Thanks. That's what I need. Okay, Babyface, you know what to do. I'm scared. Come on, Willie, get out there. Yeah, right. Yeah, the movie star now. Yeah.
So he goes and he clocks. His job is to basically be the distraction. He leads them all into a trap and they lock them up and they have the guns. And this is kind of funny. He makes fun of Tallulah.
My best room in Bob. Stop fooling around, Leroy, will you?
Sorry, buddy.
I'm Tallulah.
I heard that all the kids were actually doing that to Jodie Foster on the set.
Oh, really?
Well, that song's really catchy.
Tallulah. The names are pretty intense, too. Let's see. What do you think we should play next? The music part? I wrote it as a typical scene, very little, but this is the typical scene in the movie where they're in the club.
Jelly, jelly, up and up! Come on, you guys, get to work. All right, girls, off you go. Razzmatazz, let's hear some music.
The dancing is, like, so good, especially for children.
Okay. Yeah. So that piano player, this song, when they start singing Fat Sam, that's Paul Williams singing.
Oh, okay, I'm going to listen closely. Anybody? Yeah, you don't hear it. This is kind of a weird little quote that he says. I thought it was like really, really an intense little quote.
Okay, fellas, this is our moment. Keep a cool head and keep those fingers pumping. Because remember, it's history you'll be writing.
I feel like it's from The Godfather or something like that.
Yeah.
And he also sounded a little bit Irish or Scottish there.
They say a boom.
I also think that there was, at the period of time that this came out, this kind of music was becoming popular again. It kind of reminds me of like what the Muppets were doing that was so popular.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember there being a lot of ragtime music. And maybe the movie Ragtime even came out around the same period. Not sure.
Okay, everybody, freeze. Okay, you guys.
So for the rest of the movie, pretty much just shooting at each other. And it becomes like a huge food fight. And I have to wonder if they just basically told all the kids, make as much of a mess as you possibly can.
Oh, yeah. This had to have been the funnest part of the film to make.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They talk about it in
look at that.
In
that's
that
crazy.
So I would say they said it was just, yeah, they couldn't do anything after this. The set was wrecked after this. They had so much fun. Mm-hmm. But what I think is funny is like throughout the rest of the movie, when you got shot with the splurge gun or a pie, then that meant you're dead. But for some reason now,
yeah, they're friends.
The end, then they're not dead anymore. But I guess because like it's a kids movie, so you know that, you know, they don't think that everyone died in the movie.
Yeah.
We could have been anything that we wanted to be. And it's not too late to change. I'd be delighted to give it some thought. Maybe you'll agree that we really aren't 2, 3, 4. We could have been anything that we...
It's actually a really good song.
I love it.
And the way the tempo is picking up.
It's been decided where we could divide it. Let friendship double up our powers. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. And I'm not saying we should. But if we try it, we learn to abide it. We could be the...
I think this is how the movie ends, right?
Yep.
And how come Bugsy and Blousy don't have anything on them?
They're the stars. It's a weird movie, but...
No doubt about it, it must be worthwhile. Good friends do tend to make you smile. We could have been anything that we wanted to be.
Yeah, it's not a drop on them.
Nothing.
I hope that they got like demolished. Say it again.
At least Fizzy gets to dance. He's on the stage dancing.
Yeah,
finally.
Yes, finally. Yeah.
And it all comes back to you.
I want Tallulah to end up with Bugsy, but we don't get that.
No, it makes more sense.
Yeah. And that's it. We're at the end.
Yeah, I know. I'm on Wikipedia right now, still trying to find how much money this made or anything. There's no information, and that's kind of unusual.
And I think it was rated PG, right?
I'm sure it was, because it was in the 70s. And they really didn't have that.
PG-13. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was rated G.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. That one makes sense.
Yeah, I can't really find too much on it.
No, I think because it was made in the UK, maybe.
Well, it's a Paramount film. I mean, a lot, you know, they could do. I mean, the whole cast is pretty much American.
That's true.
I think there was a lot of UK kids, too.
Hmm. It did win a number of awards. Say it again.
So, Leah, what did you think?
Like I said, if I was a kid, well, I would have loved this movie as a kid, and it kind of sucks I didn't have this in my life as a kid. But I did enjoy it. It was fun to watch. I loved the dance sequences, and sometimes when I'm watching movies, I'm looking more into the background and the stage production and the props. And I loved all of that. The era was great. The kid actors were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that no one under 16 was in this movie. It was all 16 and under.
And Paul Williams.
and his voice. Yeah.
Now, in the 1977 Academy Awards, though, Paul Williams was nominated for an Oscar for this, for Best Music and Original Song Score, and its adaptation or adaptation score, mm-hmm. just a nominee, didn't win. But in the BAFTA Awards, we have Jodie Foster won for Taxi Driver, same year. Jodie Foster, she won two awards for Best Supporting Actress and Most Promising Newcomer to Leading Film Roles, which is pretty intense.
Yeah. And at that time, she was doing the Disney movies too, right? That was, or Disney was right before this. Because she was doing a lot of Disney movies back then as well.
She was either 13 or 14 in this, depending on when it was filmed.
Okay.
So this is very young, very young.
Yeah.
But guys, I want to thank you so much for getting together and dealing with all of my technical difficulties, but I think you helped me actually troubleshoot the issue because we have not dropped out at all. And I think I figured out what the problem is. Whee!
All right. Thank you for having me. That was so fun.
Thank you for listening to Retro TV. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review. See you next time.